You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hey, do you smell that? Oh yeah, I definitely smell that. I smell playoffs, baby! And with that, I'd like to welcome you to this week's episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's nerve-wracking, hand-shaking, butthole-clenching, somewhat ugly 21-13 win over the hated Chicago Bears on Sunday at Lambeau Field. With the win, the Packers improved to 11-3 on the season, and as a result of Dallas's win over the LA Rams, hey, thanks, Dallas, are officially back in the postseason for the first time since the 2016 campaign. Yeah, it's been a tough couple of years for us, but we're back in the dance, and that is always, always, always something to celebrate. Green Bay's record is still good enough for first place in the NFC North as well. They remain a game plus the tiebreaker ahead of the Minnesota Vikings, who did what the Packers could not do earlier this season. That's go to LA and beat the Chargers by a 39-10 count. More on Mini towards the end of the show, as you might have guessed. The Bears. The Bears, as a result of Sunday's loss to the Pack, are now 7-7 and officially eliminated from postseason contention. Because they, as we know, still suck. And the Lions lost, I guess, to Tampa Bay or something. Is that right? Who cares? Am I right as a Tampa? It doesn't matter. And if you want an update on the playoff standings for the NFC as a whole, hey, I've got that too. The Packers remain the 2 seed at the moment. Even though Green Bay is tied with Seattle at 11-3, the Seahawks have the edge based on win percentage and common games. That's according to ESPN.com. And the Packers are a half game ahead of the New Orleans Saints, currently the 3 seed at 10-3. Who hosts the Indianapolis Colts tomorrow on Monday Night Football? So go Colts! And if you're wondering, yes, the Packers absolutely have a shot at the number 1 seed in home field throughout the playoffs. And here's how they get it, according to Matt Schneidman, Packers beat writer for The Athletic, a website I am too cheap to pay for. Luckily, Matt's Twitter feed is free. He says, hypothetical. 49ers lose to the Rams on Saturday, and Seahawks lose to the 49ers week 17. Packers beat Vikings and Lions. The NFC playoffs would go through la-la-la-la Lambeau Field. Okay, so he didn't write la-la-la-la Lambeau. I added that. I just like to do that every now and then. So yes, it could totally happen, which is completely insane, but also completely awesome. And since today was the 200th meeting in this storied rivalry, Packers-Bears, here's some fun post-game numbers courtesy of the always excellent Twitter account Packers History, at Historic Packers, an account you should absolutely follow if you are a Packers fan using that godforsaken platform. They don't pay me or anything, I just think they're great, so I reference them a lot. The Packers improved to 99-95-6 all-time against the Bears. The 4-game edge is the largest lead Green Bay has had in the rivalry. With today's win, the Packers have swept the season series from the Bears 7 times in the last 11 seasons. In the 2010s, the Packers finished with a 17-4 record against the Bears. That extra win, of course, coming in the 2011 NFC Championship game, one that gives the Packers all-time ownage over the Bears and their crummy Ditka-loving fans. That last part about the NFC Championship game, I added, that's not from Historic Packers, I just added it in, because I always like to mention that, you know, anytime I can. Anytime a Bears fan talks shit to you, just go, hey, remember that NFC Championship game? Yeah, shut up. All right, so before we get into the fun, I got to do the shameless self-promotion bit. The Twitter account, Lemps, M-K-E, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, O-L Bag of Donuts. And the email account is olbagofdonuts@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone who wrote in last week. I got more emails in the last couple weeks. I basically chided you guys into doing it, but you did, and that's good. Thank you. And keep them coming. And for everybody listening on iTunes, on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, hopefully you're a subscriber. If you're not, you should do that now. Leave a rating. 5 stars. Hey, we like those the most. Maybe a comment. As long as it's positive. Chris, you're great. If it's negative, hey man, keep that shit to yourself. I ain't trying to hear that. I'm way too fragile to hear your negative comments about the show. Okay. So now that I've promoted myself to the fullest, let's talk about this game. So to me, it was clear today, as it was in the first meeting between these teams back in week one, that the Packers are the better team. They just are. Having said that, they aren't so much better where they can put their foot on Chicago's throat and snuff them out. Chicago, or a lot of other teams for that matter, as 8 of Green Bay's 14 games this season have been one-score affairs. The Packers, an astounding 7-1 in those contests. So, I mean, let's start with the offense. Oh, big surprise, right? Chris is starting with the offense. But shit, man, they to me were the big story today, as they continue to either impress or confound on a drive-by-drive basis. It struck me after the game that this offense is a little bit like, okay, so this is a little random, but if you remember the old Dennis Leary stand-up special from the early 90s, No Cure for Cancer, he talks about how living in New York, it's street to street, moment to moment, beat to beat. And I'm like, that's the Packers offense. You know, so you know, I'm going to use Leary's bit there as the basis for breaking down the offense, shall we? Who else does this? What other Packers podcaster is going to use Dennis Leary's No Cure for Cancer to break down the team's offense? Who else does that but me? You're not getting that anywhere else. I don't know if that's good or not, but you're not getting it anywhere else. All right, so I'm going to go in chronological order as best I can. Good block. Packers go for it on 4th-and-4 at the Chicago 29 late in the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers floats an absolute beauty to Devontae Adams in stride on a go route. Adams does the rest, quite literally carrying Chicago's Buster Skrine with him into the end zone. He basically had him on his back, or like on his shoulder. 7-0 Packers. Loved how aggressive Matt LaFleur was there. Unfortunately, we come now to a bad block. That was, well, the Packers' next 3 offensive possessions. All 3 reach Bears territory. The third largely due to an outstanding kick return by Tyler Swervin' Irvin. More on him a little later. And the Packers generated a grand total of 0 points. 0 freaking points on those 3 possessions. Last week against Washington, if you remember, I pointed out on the show, the Packers had 6 drives over the span of various points in that game that reached Redskins territory, and they ended up netting Green Bay a total of 6 points. Today, it's 3 drives in a row, and they come up with 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, He passes up a surefire first down scramble for a last-second pass to tight end Robert Tonyan that fell incomplete, killed the first of those three drives. You know, and this bugged me. He's coming off the field carping a Tonyan. He clearly was upset with him about something. I would have bought a Robert Tonyan jersey if he had said, "Hey, pal, why didn't you just take off and run? Why are you carping at me? You had a first down." You know, there's Rodgers chasing, maybe not a home run, but he was chasing something close to it again. Next drive, sort of the same thing. Two shots to get 6 yards from the Chicago 36 on third and fourth down. And there's Rodgers chasing the chunk play. Instead of simply getting, you know, 6 yards. Hey, how about you just get 6 yards? Live to fight another day. Packers turn it over on downs. Now, I still like Matt LaFleur being aggressive on that fourth down call. I just didn't think Rodgers made a very smart decision. And hey, speaking of poor decisions from Aaron Rodgers, how about a third and four at the Chicago 31 with under 30 seconds to go in the half? The last of these three drives. Rodgers draws an inexcusable, intentional grounding call, trying to flip the ball away, but not getting it to the line of scrimmage. Can't do that. And then fourth and 14 with 9 seconds left. Packers, no timeouts. Surely Rodgers is just going to throw this into the end zone, right? Nope. He's throwing deep over the middle to Geronimo Allison, who couldn't even come down with it. But I mean, why would you throw that? You have no timeouts left. Even if Allison catches it, you're running out of time. So just, you know, a lot of head scratchers from Rodgers there. Really, the Packers are lucky not getting points there. That didn't cost them more than it did. But then, good block. The first two drives of the third quarter. Right? Bang. Play action at Devontae. It's a big completion for 34 yards. Nice slant call there. Boom. Rodgers scrambles up the middle. The C's part, and he picks up a huge chunk of yards. 17 yards, to be exact, just outside the red zone. And bingo. Aaron Jones takes care of the rest. Hand off left. Jones takes it off end. Breaks a couple of tackles and surges into the end zone from 21 yards out. 14-3 Packers on a great, great 73-yard drive. That was awesome stuff. Then, on the next drive, 3rd and 4, the Green Bay 40, Rodgers to Jake Kumerow, complete for 49 yards. Kumerow gets in the hole between defenders, and Rodgers dropped in a nice pass, a really, really nice pass, to get that in between those two guys. Kumerow shakes off a couple of defenders. He's shaking and baking down the sidelines again, a huge gain. Chicago challenged where he stepped out of bounds, as it was close, but he was in. You could tell he was in bounds. Call stands. Big play from Jake Kumerow. I mean, with Christmas coming up soon here, I guess it was time for Whitewater Jesus to make a play. Is it Whitewater Jesus, or are we going with Whitewater Dave Grohl? Someone sent me a photo of Kumerow side by side with Dave Grohl, and I thought that kind of works too. Whitewater Dave Grohl? Guys, let me know what you think. I don't know if we're going to go Whitewater Jesus or if I'm going to call him Whitewater Dave Grohl. We'll see. Anyways, following the big completion to Kumerow, there's that man again, Aaron Jones, closing the drive out by going through a huge hole. Blasting into a defender and taking him with into the end zone for the score. Now it's 21-3 Green Bay with 7:48 to go in the third. Boy, that kid, I know I say this a lot, but his nose for the end zone. Aaron Jones, it's unlike any running back I've seen in Green Bay since I'm on Green, man. He's just like a magnet for it, for the end zone. In fact, here's a fun stat on that, courtesy of ESPN Packers beat reporter Rob Domofsky. Aaron Jones, with his 17th touchdown of the season, is now tied for 4th with Don Hutson on the Packers' single-season touchdown list. Next up, Sterling Sharp's 18, 1994, Jim Taylor's 19, 1962, and Amon Green's 20 in 2003. How good was Amon Green in 2003? That was one of the best seasons. That's probably the best season I've ever seen a running back have. Certainly for the Packers, anyways. Will he get it? I don't know. It's a good question. See, he's got 17. Two games. I would think he'll pass Sterling Sharp. Maybe tie Tim. I could see him tying Green, but I don't think he'll break Amon's record. No. But still, 20 touchdowns. That's freaking incredible. Okay. So back to the game. Now the Packers are rolling, right? They're clearly going to keep this up. They're going to stick the dagger in the Bears, right? Nope. Bad block. The worst block of the game. And oh boy, was this a bad block. This might have been, as Dennis Leary would say, this was like the crack block. The crack block. Gun block. As the offense proceeds to get one first down the rest of the game. Not on the next possession. Over the final 5 possessions. So 4 3 and outs in that span, of course. Including the last possession for the offense where one effing first down would have ended the game. Nope, couldn't do it. Matt LaFleur got far too conservative with the play calling, which was weird because, you know, they were being aggressive or fairly aggressive on the 2 scoring drives to start the half, I thought. You know, just keep doing that. Don't go into a shell, man. Don't get soft. That was tough. That was ass to watch. That was tough. Not good ass either. That was bad ass to watch. And not badass in the fun way. You know what I mean. So, yeah, you know, you can see this offense has the ability to dominate at times, but they just aren't able to do it with any real consistency. And the lows, oh my God, the lows are just so low. Which, I mean, I know it's a new scheme, but I don't know how much longer that excuse holds up. It's December, man. To be honest, I was hoping to see a little more growth by this point than what we've seen. You know, street to street and beat to beat, as Mr. Leary would say. You know, I don't think they're making enough of an effort to get Aaron Jones the ball. I think that would help. 0 targets for him in the passing game. Are you shitting me? 0 targets for Aaron Jones. That's unacceptable. Only 13 carries. That's not enough either. Again, it's December 15th. What are you saving him for? It's time to ride him. The offense has to run through him. It just has to. Every time I think they're starting to get this, last week I thought, they're starting to get it. A game like this happens, and I'm left baffled. I don't have any answers for you as to why it's happening. If you're thinking I have an answer, I don't. I don't know why they're not. You know what else would help? Bumping Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS, as we call him here on the show. Oh, it breaks my heart to do this to MVS as the CEO of MVS Industries. By the way, we've now officially declared for bankruptcy. We're in foreclosure now. It's MVS Industries is over. But you know what helped? Bumping him and Allison down on the depth chart. Or maybe off it almost completely. And moving Alan Lazard and Kumaro up. You know, Kumaro, I said this earlier in the season. I've said it a few times. The guy just has a knack for getting open and making plays. As we saw today. And Lazard, even though he only had 2 catches for 14 yards against the Bears Sunday, I still believe in him as a receiver. And man, he is a ferocious run blocker. He is really a weapon in the run game. It's great to see. You know, Adams and those two, man, those are your guys at receiver. Not MVS, who dropped an absolute dime from Rodgers that should have been a 75-yard touchdown pass on the Packers' first offensive play. Or Allison, who dropped a third-down pass later in that drive that he, frankly, he has to get that. There's a shock. Geronimo Allison with another drop. Holy shit. Who saw that coming? I'm sorry. I don't think at this point they deserve many more chances. But I think Lazard and Kumaro do. You know, I talked a couple weeks ago about identifying who your guys are and aren't. And you're seeing Adams, Lazard, Kumaro. I think Kumaro could be that third guy. We know it's not MVS and we know it's not Allison, so give him a shot. Hey, you know what? I'm a dick because I haven't even talked about the defense yet. 16 minutes in, I haven't talked about the defense yet. We're going to do that now. Let's do that now. All in all, you know, the defense, they did well, I guess. I don't know. I hate Ben, but don't break. I hate it so much, so goddamn much. Even though I know that's the best we can ask for at this point with this group, I just hate that term. You know? Some people, it's the three-man rush. Some people, it's a goal line fade. For me, it's Ben, but don't break. I hate it. But you know what? That's what they are, and that's certainly what they were Sunday. They were bending, and they were not breaking. You know, for all the yards the Bears were amassing through the air in that second half, and all the terrible spots the offense put them in after it was 21-3, Packers only allowed 10 points in the final two quarters. Mitch Trubisky, hey, you know, we mock him. We all have a good time making fun of him. Because I don't know if you know this, but the Bears could have drafted Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. They traded up to take Trubisky. I don't know if you know that. I like to throw that in anytime I can. But, you know, I got to give Mitchell, whatever the hell his name is, I got to give him his due, man. He was really good in the second half. 242 passing yards. Made some tough throws in the process. He made some tough throws throughout the game on Sunday, I thought. As far as his performances in these games against the Packers, this is the best I thought Trubisky's looked. I think they should, and I mean that seriously. I don't know if I mean this as much. No, I do. They should give him a 10-year extension. 10 years, $400 million. Lock him up. Don't let him get away. I mean, is there any better way to describe the Packers' defense in Chicago's last drive of the game? Bears take over, no timeouts, 36 seconds left. They have to go roughly 80 yards plus a two-point conversion to tie the game. And they still get deep into Green Bay territory. Trubisky fires it into the end zone, and Riley Ridley almost comes down with it. After Jair Alexander can't come down with it. Jair, I love you. But knock that shit down, man. You don't always have to come up with the pick. You just knock it down. Anyways, 1 second left. One last play. Chicago goes for the lateral play. Now, I thought they should have gone for another heave into the end zone. Because the lateral play, I mean, I know Miami pulled it off last year against New England. But the odds on that are just so low. I really thought they should have just let Trubisky throw one up. But you know what? Holy hell. The lateral play almost worked. They got really close. In fact, if Jesper Horsted had lateraled it to Allen Robinson near the 5-yard line, Robinson might have been able to punch it in. Although I still think Tremont Williams would have gotten to him in time. But he didn't lateral it to Robinson. It's fumbled. Tremont recovers near the goal line. Packers win. I mean, how many years did that final play take off your life? 5, 10, more? I really was like, oh, I was like, oh, the old ladder. Oh, this old yarn. And then they just kind of kept getting closer, and I was like, oh no. Oh, and by then I'm like, oh no. But that's the Packers defense taking you right up to the edge and then saving the day. That is this defense. Now, I have no idea if that's sustainable come January. I would guess it probably isn't. But for now, it's working. Yeah, I do want to credit the run defense, though. They were outstanding Sunday, holding David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen to just 67 yards on 22 carries. And, you know, there were some real standout performances on this defense. Kenny Clark, I'm starting with Kenny Clark again. Dude is just dialed in now. 8 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. When he plays well, I say it a lot, but when he plays well, this defense is just different. And he is going to get paid. If you wondered, he had that stretch, you know, in the middle part of the season where he wasn't very good. If you wondered if he was worth it, no, he's worth it. They have to pay him. Back the Brinks truck up and pay him. He's a bad MF for that, dude, I'll tell you what. Jair, now I kind of knocked Jair a little bit, said he should have knocked that pass down instead of going for the pick. But, you know, he made 2 really great plays, just destroying Chicago bubble screens out wide. Jair fought through tackles, buried guys. It was great to see. He also had a pick on Trubisky's Hail Mary to end the first half. So I guess I can't really blame him for going up for the pick at the end, because he did it at the end of the first half and it worked. He's very sure of himself, I'll say that. Chandon Sullivan? I've been wondering why he's not getting more run. I think that's starting to change. I think they're starting to see that Sullivan needs to be in on more stuff. He's just always in on stuff, you know? He's always around the ball or around the quarterback if they're blitzing him or whatever. He's just in on things. I said this a lot about Tyler Lancaster last year. That's kind of Sullivan this year. Even though, you know, D-lineman, DB, different positions, but same idea. The 2 first-round picks, Darnell Savage and Rashawn Gary, man, they showed up. Savage almost had a pick. And I'll tell you, I'm calling it right now. He's going to make a huge play in soon, like a game-changing, game-ending type play. I'll go out on that limb because he's fully healthy now. You know, he started out the season. He started out really well, and then he got hurt. He had, what, the ankle sprain, high ankle sprain? And he just wasn't the same guy. I credit him for fighting through it and playing, but you could tell dude just wasn't the same. But I think he's as fully healthy as anybody can be on December 15th. I think that's where he is now. And Gary had a sack near the end of the first half that ultimately forced a Chicago field goal. So if you were wondering, Rashawn Gary lives. He's alive. He looked really good on that, too. That play, bullying his way through the tackle to get to Trubisky, that, I was like, that guy, that's the guy they drafted 12th. More of that, please. Yes, please. And then Dean Lowry, great interception in the fourth quarter after Chicago started at its own 40 down 8. So I type out notes for the game as the game goes on, and I literally typed in my notes, a turnover would be bleeping welcomed here. I don't say the F word on the show, but that's what I said there, would be effing welcomed here. And I mean, I literally typed that right before he came down with the pick. Great play too, man. Lowry went up to bat it down. He ended up batting it down right into his hands. It was great. I thought maybe I could see the future for a second. So I tweeted out a plea for $1 million being delivered to me by a swimsuit model. That never came to fruition. So I guess I can't see the future, unfortunately. I could for that one brief moment. So anyways, I digress. I still have my questions about this defense, right? How could you not? But I will say, there are moments where you can kind of see it coming together. Today felt like maybe one of those moments. We'll see if they can build on it. Special teams, Irvin continues to impress. I mentioned his big kick return earlier. He did some more good work on punt returns. He's going to be a weapon. Especially as he continues to work with his blocking groups and learn where guys are going to be on certain, you know, returns, formations. I mean, remember, that dude hasn't even been a Packer for 2 weeks. Literally, he hasn't even been in Green Bay 2 weeks. Thank you, Jacksonville. Thank you to Jacksonville for cutting him. Big shout out to the Jaguars. Okay, so what are we, 24 minutes in? Big picture time? Yeah, that sounds about right. The Packers continue to show they can win close games, one-score games, ugly games. And I do think that has value come playoff time. It makes teams tougher, you know? They don't panic when things get tight, and they understand that they can still win even if they're not their best. This team, though, is just so inconsistent. Sunday was a perfect example of that. You just watch this game and you go, shit, man, I can see a really good or even great team in there. And like that, it's gone. And you have no idea when or even if it's coming back. But if it all comes together, sure, yeah, they could go on a run. And if you're a glass half full kind of person, that's where you're hanging your hat right now. The Packers haven't played their best ball yet. Not by a long shot. It could still all fall into place. But if the bad Packers show up, it could be one and done. It probably will be one and done. I still feel like this team most closely resembles the 2004 Packers, right? Sherman's last playoff team. Team that had some nail-biting wins. I think they won 3 games that year on last-second Longwell field goals, right? Against Houston, at Houston, Detroit at home, and then at Minnesota in Week 16. And they also suffered some blowout losses. Most notably, I remember they got hammered by Philadelphia in a late afternoon game in Philly. And I think November of that year. And ultimately, that team lost in the first round at Lambeau to Minnesota. And again, I know I mentioned it last week, the infamous Randy Moss mooning game. I hate saying that. I wish I had a more positive feeling for the postseason prospects, but that's who they remind me of right now. But you know what? I say that, I'll be honest, I don't have any real idea of what to expect. I can't see the future, as noted earlier. So for now, you know, I'm just really glad to be back in the postseason. Playoff football is the most exciting, terrifying, awful, wonderful thing when your team is in it, isn't it? I've missed those emotions as a Packers fan, so it'll be fun to experience them again. It sucks ass having your season end in Week 17. Just being like, well, it's January, we're not going to have football for... Or it's barely January. We're not going to have football until September. All I've got now is mock drafts and free agency rumors. So it's nice to, you know what? It's nice to be back in the dance. God damn, it's nice to be back in the dance. Okay, so I told you guys to submit some Twitter questions. I actually asked you guys twice because nobody really said anything the first time. All right. And let's get to those now, shall we? Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell, says... Credit to the defense for saving the game again and again. I hated the conservative play calling from the third quarter on after a great start to the second half. Hopefully they learn that all gas, no brakes doesn't mean all gas and then slam immediately on the brakes. Yeah, that was weird. It was weird, right? Because that's what LaFleur preaches. And you just... You didn't see it. Like, it was like, are you saving stuff for the playoffs? Like, why are you like... throttling these guys, then all of a sudden going into a shell. I just didn't get it. So yeah, I agree. And I agree with you about the defense. Yeah, they really did kind of save the day. So yeah, good question. Thank you, Justin. This next one's from Brewcrew, my old pal, my old bag of donuts podcast co-host, my bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers. Brewcrewer at @asummers_time says, like I texted you earlier, it can be so good and then so bad. This roller coaster is going to get them come playoff time. Yeah. No, I like I said, Adam, I can't argue with it. I totally agree. I think I don't see a long run in the cards. As much as I want to say I do, I just don't at this point. I mean, it would be nice, but I don't see it. Okay, let's go to second round of questions here. Curtis Polishinski at KS Polish. Says, I think the Packers are in a good situation. They have all the pieces to be great, and they've shown them, though being inconsistent. They still haven't peaked yet. It's better to be working things out during the season than to trail off in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like I said a little while ago, if you're glass half full kind of person, you know, they haven't played their best ball yet. Or as you said, Curtis, they haven't peaked yet. Could it still happen? Yeah, I don't know if it's great that they're working things out in Week 15. I guess I would disagree with you a little bit there. But I get your general point. It's funny, someone mentioned earlier that this Packers team reminds them of the 2002 team, which I didn't agree with that at all. That 2002 team was really good. I thought that could have been a Super Bowl team, and then the injuries hit, and they were just gassed by the end of the season. Got blown out by the Jets in Week 17, didn't get home field advantage, and then got, obviously, the Vic game in the playoffs at Lambeau. Which the less we talk about that, the better. so yeah, you don't want to be that. But I don't know if you want to be working things out at this point in the season either. All right, next question. Thank you, Curtis. Next question comes from K. Rudolph at Scient West, who asks, who needs to step up on defense like Lazard and Kumerow on offense? Was sack by Gary a good sign? That's a really good question. Who needs to step up on the defense? Well, I thought Dean Lowry coming up with that interception today was pretty huge. I mean, they gave him a big contract in the offseason and big contract extension, and I'd say he's been somewhat disappointing this year. Be nice to see him get back to the form he had last year. So I'll say Dean Lowry for sure. And who else? I'm going to name it. Give you another name here. Let's say... boy, this is tough. I'm going to say Savage. Yeah, and he's getting there. And I think Savage is getting to the point where I think he could be that guy who could step up and really... Because Amos, we know what he is on the back end. He's not going to be a big flashy playmaker. He can do it, but he's more of the solid guy, right? He's like the bass player. They need Savage to be that kind of wild, you know, soloing guitar player. Run around, get crazy, make plays. So I'm going to say it's a lot for a rookie, but I'm going to say Dean Lowry and Darnell Savage. And yes, the sack by Gary was a very good sign. Hopefully he can build on that. All right, last question comes from Philip Voss at P_Voss. He says, I've had my complaints about this team at times, but the negativity from the fan base the last 2 weeks has been nuts. Coming off two straight losing seasons, having a coach fired, there is no way this season is anything but an enormous success. All right, so there's a lot to unpack there, but I'm going to say, you know what? Okay, you're right. Your last point is right. There is, yes, this season has been an enormous success. There's no question about that. But I guess I would disagree a little bit about the negativity. I guess maybe I'm not seeing it. I don't see anybody being overtly negative. I just see people like myself having questions about how good this team actually is. I mean, when you consider that the Detroit game, they kind of had a win handed to them by the refs. You could make the case, and then, you know, dodging the Pat Mahomes bullet in Kansas City. So, and 7-1 and 7-1 in one score games. That's incredible luck. So it's a good team, but they've also, you know, benefited from incredible luck this season. I don't think people are being negative. I just think people are saying we have doubts about what kind of playoff run this team can go on. But you're right. This has been an enormous success, no matter how the playoffs go. I hope that makes sense. Okay. So, thank you to everyone who sent in a question or comment. We turn our focus now to next week as the Packers will be heading to Minneapolis for a Monday night showdown with the Vikings at US Bank Stadium. Second time on Monday Night Football this year for the Packers, which is really odd. I can't remember the last time that happened. I was going to look it up before I started recording and I completely forgot. If you're listening and you know, can you let me know? Hit me up with that info. I'd love to know. Obviously, it's going to be a challenge. You know, it's always a tough place to play, a brutal place at times for this organization. If you go back to the old Metrodome days. And with Minnesota's division title hopes on life support, you know the Vikings are going to bring it. They are going to bring it. That's a really talented team. And the Packers are going to have to be ready. They probably can't be inconsistent like they were today if they want to win that one. And you know, I don't talk about college football too much. But after the freaking Badgers ruined my Minnesota Gophers, my alum, I'm a Minnesota alum. They ruined my Minnesota Gophers Rose Bowl hopes. You ruined them. You shit all over them. You and Iowa. The least the other more important Wisconsin football team can do is also go into Minneapolis and win. Lock up that division title, please. Can you do that for me? Please. That would make me feel better about the Gopher thing. Please. But as always, win, lose, or draw, I'll be back to recap that next. Well, I guess not, I was going to say next Sunday night, but I guess not Sunday night. It'll either be Monday night or more likely Tuesday morning. Christmas Eve. So hopefully you'll be including your old pal Chris in your Christmas Eve plans. I would really appreciate that. So until then, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening.
Go Pack Go!